and wish to join us in the chat room, visit paltalk.com. Go to the social issues, select other, and enter the UFO Paranormal Radio Network.
Tune in to the Mind Cemetery with your hosts Chip and Nicole every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Exclusively on the UFO Paranormal Radio Network. We delve into UFOs, abductions, ghosts, aliens, conspiracies, and cryptozoology.
And how could you ever forget about those creepy topics you won't hear on your local news?
This is where I would insert my obligatory skeptical statement. The Mind Cemetery, where the paranoia about the paranormal comes to rest.
Follow us on Twitter and subscribe to us on Facebook. Also, check us out on our website, mindcemetery.com, for show updates and the critically acclaimed Mind Cemetery blog.
It's not critically acclaimed, but you should check it out anyway, mindcemetery.com.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Benetti, and along with Joe Montaldo, we host News on the Flip Side. Come join us every Saturday night at 7 p.m. Central for our three-hour program. We have opinions on everything, and we're not afraid to share them. False history gets made all day, every day. The truth of the new is never on the news, but you can find it here with News on the Flip Side. Remember, don't be politically correct. Just be correct. Join us.
Tune in to UFO Undercover, Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, Joe Montaldo, right here on the Paranormal Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the December 6, 2014 edition of Global Newsmaker Focus, broadcast Saturdays at 11 p.m. Eastern on United Public Radio and UPRN 107.7 FM New Orleans, Louisiana, and 107.9 FM and 105.3 FM Henderson, Pass Christian, Mississippi. Patrice Sheridan speaking. Vernell and I are privileged to interview Abby Kohut, Human Resources Professional. Our guest websites can be accessed at absolutelyabby.com and abbyacrossamerica.com. Abby's website material, very informative to the job seeker, includes very informative articles and media coverage links, noting some of Abby's innovative and helpful job search tips. Abby is conducting a tour of America with her mission to educate 1 million job seekers across America. Abby already has met with job seekers in 33 states during years 2013 and 2014 and continues her cross-country track in 2015 to find people jobs. Tour information can be accessed at abbyacrossamerica.com. Abby's tour has attracted the attention of several national and regional news programs, and you can review some of the news coverage at the newsroom page at abbyacrossamerica.com. And please pardon the noise. I'm going to close the door. Downtown Phoenix is a bit noisy today. We now would like to note some of the bio details, citing directly from portions of the About Abby page at abbyacrossamerica.com. For now, while I close this door, could you start with the first paragraph? Very impressive material.
Sure thing. And let me just say again, welcome, Abby. We are more than pleased to have you as our guest today. And I'm sure our listening radio audience will learn a lot from the tips you're going to leave us with. So going on with Patrice's request to cite some of the things from Abby's page at abbyacrossamerica.com. It notes that Amy's a brave human resource professional and has stepped forward to share her secrets of the industry to help the unemployed fill more than 3 million jobs. Aside from teaching job search skills, Abby also inspires those that are out of work to not lose faith and that they will find a job. Abby, who is known as Absolutely Abby because she tells job seekers the absolute truth, has held positions from corporate recruiter to senior director of recruiting over the past 18 years. In 2009, Abby shifted her focus to concentrate on helping candidates land their dream jobs and has spoken to over 300 job search groups in the U.S. In 2012, Abby and her husband, Ken, left their home in New Jersey to travel across the country in an RV in order to fulfill Abby's goal to educate 1 million job seekers. This cross-country speaking tour is a project which has been self-funded since its inception. You can learn more about Abby and this great feat that she has undertaken at absolutelyabby.com. Back to you, Patrice.
Thanks for now. Further citing Abby's really outstanding credentials, quoting, Abby has gained much media attention since she wrote the book Absolutely Abby's 101 Job Search Secrets. She was selected as one of the top 100 influential people online, according to Fast Company magazine, and was named as one of the Monster 11 for 2011 career experts who can help your job search. AbsolutelyAbby.com was named as one of the top 100 career sites by Forbes in 2013. Abby has been featured on several dozen television news and radio segments, including Fox News, Good Morning Connecticut, and Bloomberg Radio. Her advice has also been featured in newspapers such as the NJ or New Jersey Star Ledger, The Daily News, Inc. magazine, Urban Mail magazine, and LA Weekly, and on top career sites such as Monster, Career Builder, Hot Jobs, Workchic, and The Ladders. Abby, welcome to the program. You know, your career experience is so impressive, with director and senior management positions, finding jobs for thousands of individuals across the country. You have now embarked on this very important mission to find jobs for 1 million people, and you've already met with so many job applicants in years 2013 and 14. Your mission is continuing right on to 2015 as well. And again, before I keep quiet here and let our wonderful guest speak, Abby, your website pages include truly vital and innovative points and tips for the job seeker. Welcome, Abby.
Thank you, guys. This has been a wonderful introduction. I'm so blessed to be here. Thank you for having me.
Abby, the first, you have so many great points at your website. You note, for example, you indicate the dramatic change in the job search process and the tremendously competitive nature of the current job market. You believe that the job candidate should note particular achievements to note his unique potential to fill a job position.
Yes, well, in other words, it's very competitive out there these days, and because a recruiter like me receives so many applications when we place an ad, and we interview a ton of candidates, you have to know what you bring to the table. You have to know what makes you better than all the other candidates. That's the answer to why should we hire you. You need to know that answer, and you need to bring that out during the interview, regardless of whether we ask that question. So it's really important to know your value proposition.
That's very interesting information. And, you know, Abby, I was checking out your media links as well as your website, and you were noting wonderfully helpful tips for the individual forwarding his resume to note unique information thereon to really emphasize the uniqueness of the individual's capability to fill a particular position. Now, you also note, Abby, the importance and popularity of social media sites. You note their use as both a key job search tool and an information source on potential job applicants for corporate recruiters. First, Abby, how can the job seeker utilize social media to effectively promote himself or herself and network with potential employers?
Okay, well, we're going to have to talk about three different social media platforms. We've got Twitter, we've got Facebook, we've got LinkedIn. So let's start with Facebook. It's the least important. Facebook is really good for you to reach out to people that you used to know at your last company or people you went to high school or college with. And once you get reconnected with those people, you can let them know that you're looking for positions and what you're looking for. And they already like you because they already know you. So they're probably more than willing to help you. So that's what you do with Facebook. When it comes to Twitter, many job seekers are setting up a Twitter profile, and they're tweeting out information that they know about their profession or about their industry. And because of that information, employers are seeing them and are reaching out to them, either offering them jobs, offering them consulting opportunities, or offering them interviews. So getting on Twitter is a really good idea. The most important social media site these days is LinkedIn. And once you're on LinkedIn, you get to discover who your friends and your family and your coworkers and your neighbors, you attach to all of those people. So you become LinkedIn to those people. And then it's very easy to find out who they know using LinkedIn. And then what you use LinkedIn for is to ask someone that you know to introduce you to somebody that you don't know. So, for example, Patrice, if you knew somebody that was working at a radio station, right, but you went on LinkedIn and you looked them up and you discovered that they know somebody at Walt Disney and you want to work for Disney, you would ask the person at the radio station to introduce you to the person at Disney. That's how LinkedIn works. So everyone needs to be on LinkedIn if they're looking for a job in the corporate world.
Boy, that's important information. For now, you and I both have LinkedIn websites. That's going to be very helpful information for us.
Yes, I agree, Abby. I really find that LinkedIn provides you with kind of a way to check out people that you may already have an interview with so that you can feel more comfortable and open discussions with them at the time of the interview.
Yeah, even that. So, I mean, we could talk about LinkedIn for like an hour. It's that powerful. There's so many things that you can do with LinkedIn, but the most important thing you should be doing is just getting on there and building your connections, just trying to find everybody that you know, that you knew, that you know, as long as you like them, connect with them. And that will help recruiters find you. It will help you find other people. Really, it's an incredible tool that job seekers have today that we didn't have 10 years ago, for example.
Yeah. Do you find anything to be a terrible time waster these days? Like, you know, I guess just filling out applications online in general?
Well, unfortunately, you still have to fill out applications online. I wouldn't call that a waste of time because there are some companies that still want people to fill out their application. It's their entryway into the company. But what I guess I would consider as a waste of time is if you only fill out applications online. If that's all that you're doing to search for a job, that's definitely not a good approach. So you should do a little bit of that, a little bit of networking, a little bit of going to church and meeting people and telling them what you're interested in, going to holiday parties, like a little bit of a lot of things, doing hobbies, doing volunteer work, just doing lots of different things, and that is really the perfect strategy for you.
Great.
You know, Abby, that sounds like your article references to networking would be meeting people at church, going to social groups, as well as your field groups be very important.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about getting out and meeting people that you don't know. It's also about meeting people that you do know. So, for example, I'm going to give you a great story. There's a friend of mine who was a chief financial officer, so it's a big wig in the finance area. And he's a CFO, and he went to get his hair cut on a Friday, and he was complaining to the hairdresser that he just lost his job. And the hairdresser said, well, that's kind of interesting. because a few hours ago I had a recruiter sitting here telling me that they couldn't find a good CFO for their company. And she connected them together, and this person got a job within 2 weeks. So the point is, I have stories like that. I could go on. I have so many of these stories. But the point is, you can't find a job just sitting in your house these days anymore. You have to get out and talk to people that you know and ask them if they know other people. Or you have to use LinkedIn online and do the same thing. But it's all about networking. And again, volunteering, like you just said, volunteering and hobbies, it's a great way to meet people that you don't know and meet people that you do know.
Very interesting. I just had a question, if it's okay. I don't want to take us off topic too far. But what would you think are the most, I would say, the best interview techniques or skills that a person can hone if they're really interested in that job and feel like, you know, they really want it?
You know, it's kind of interesting. There's really no, quote-unquote, best technique. And I talk about this when I do my live presentations. I talk about it as being the captain of your own career. People are always asking me, like, what's the best resume? What's the best interview? What's the best this? What's the best cover letter? And the fact is there's very few facts associated with job search. So what you have out there is you have a lot of people just like me giving a lot of opinions about resume size, cover letter, interview techniques, all of this. And the best interview technique, honestly, is the day that you go and meet with a person and you get the job, that means that you had the best interview technique. But if you took that same interview technique, the same answers to the same questions, and did it at a different company, you might not get the job because for some reason they didn't like your answers. That's the problem with the world of job search, is that it's so confusing because there's no right answer to anything. So I teach people to learn from great people that have good information and to take information and figure out what makes the best sense for them. So if you hear somebody talk about how to answer a question and you think it makes sense for you, then go with that. But don't be searching for the best resume, the best cover letter, that kind of thing. Does that make sense? I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that's great, because a lot of people get stuck in the fact that what worked once should always work, but this really makes it seem much more realistic in terms of every issue, every situation being unique.
Yeah, and it's so subjective. It's like 100% subjective. There's not a lot of facts associated with job search. So you just have to go out and give it your best shot, and your best shot one day is going to be perfect, and other days it's going to be not. And it's because you're dealing with different people that have different opinions. So you just have to keep trying, keep going out there.
And, you know, Abby, you have a wonderful Facebook page as well. I was reading some of the very helpful material there. It discusses the importance of positive traits of the job applicant and employee, passion for the job, friendliness, flexibility. And you note that the dynamic interest of the job applicant can really trump an applicant with more technically qualified skills for that position. Apparently, the employers are really attracted by that passion, the interest in the position.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I have helped people get hired that didn't have any, well, not any, but they didn't have a large percentage of the skills that were required for the job, but the hiring manager wanted to hire them anyway because of their passion. And here's a really interesting example for you. I had a job seeker that I was helping, and he was trying to get into Moody's Financial Services, which is a very large financial services company in the New York area. Some of you may have heard of it. And he didn't have any financial analysis experience in the workplace. He was an actuary. And what happened is he really wanted to get into financial services, financial analysis. So what he did as a hobby is every night he would study the stock market. And he learned all about stocks and bonds and mutual funds, and he knew it inside and out. So he knew that he would be very good at financial analysis. So what we did is I told him to put his resume into a FedEx envelope and to put a little egg timer, which we got out of a Boggle game set. and it's like one of those hourglass things with sand. So he put that egg timer in with his resume, and he said, if you give me this much time, I'll prove to you that I can be the best financial analyst you've ever had. And he sent it to FedEx, and then he called the person the next day, and he said, I'd like to come in for an interview. And the guy said, you got to go through HR, human resources. And he said, well, no, I'm the guy who sent you the egg timer. And so he invited him in, and he ended up getting the job. And again, he had zero work experience in financial analysis. But all he had was passion for it, and he was able to demonstrate that he knew it, he understood it, and he lived it. It was who he was. And that's how he got that job. And there are countless stories of people like this that are happening because it's really all about passion and why do you really want to be in my company? Why do you want to work here? That kind of thing.
Well, you know, Abby, you noted one of your media clips. Your website has excellent wealth of media clip information as well as excellent articles on the job for the job seeker. You noted one of your media clips from an Ohio network station that the job applicant should look appropriate for an interview even when going about his or her daily business. Could you explain why and how the job applicant can promote his job skills and talents to the community and general public in his efforts to find that job? For example, even going out today, doing errands, I should look professional. Just in case I meet that right employer, that right contact?
That's it, yeah. See, the thing is, a lot of job seekers go to networking events, because I speak at a lot of networking events around the country. Job seekers come to the events, and they look like they just rolled out of bed. They're wearing not the perfect clothes. Like, they're wearing practically their pajamas. That's my description of it. It's not really true, but you know what I'm trying to say. They're really dressed casually and frumpy, and they don't look like they've got it all together. And you just have absolutely no idea who you're going to meet at a networking event. I mean, for one thing, the speaker could be someone who could hire you. And for a number of years when I was still living in the Jersey, New York area, I was one of those people because I was speaking and doing recruiting at the same time. And I would look for people in the audience that I thought might be good for positions that I had open. But no one knew that. And if someone came up to me and they were dressed like they were in their pajamas, I wouldn't take them seriously, and I wouldn't necessarily want to recommend them. So, but on the contrary, if someone came up to me and they were dressed in a blazer on a Saturday, I mean, I really knew that they meant business and they really wanted a job. So I would definitely recommend that you get dressed up, even if you really don't feel like it, because you have no idea who you're going to meet. Even if you go to the supermarket, you have no idea who's shopping at the same time as you. And so if you get dressed up, I know it's a pain to get all pretty and everything, especially for women, but men, it's a little easier. Maybe you don't have to wear a tie, but at least look presentable just in case somebody wants to talk to you about something in the supermarket.
That's excellent.
Great information, Abby. I have one question that I'd like to just throw out there. What do you have information-wise to help maybe someone that's handicapped? I mean, not, you know, of drastic handicap, but, for instance, I use oxygen all the time. And before I got my last position, I was terrified of going there with the oxygen tank and all that. And so I, you know, took a chance and went in on the interview without it. But eventually, in time, I had to go and get it and use it while I was in the position. What do you recommend in terms of someone seeking a job but has a minor ailment, disability?
That's a really great question, and I'm so glad you asked me that, because I bet there are many people out there that have these types of little things. And it's very personal. The answer is very personal. And if you are one of these listeners out there that has a situation like this, or another thing is if you've ever been fired from a job or if you've ever committed a crime, these are little things that are going to cause employers to put you lower down on the list, usually. And so if you have one of these things, I would highly recommend that you get in touch with me so we can work this out together in a personal one-on-one session. But just as a general answer I have for you, My recommendation is that you actually talk to the employer about your disability, because what's happening, especially if they can see it, if they can't see it, I would recommend you not talk to them about it. But if they can see your disability or your ailment, what's happening is it's in their head while they're talking to you, and they have these things spinning around in their head. They have these words going through their mind, and the words are something like, wow, I wonder if they'll be able to handle the job. They have a limp, and I can't, they're going to have to walk around every day. And how are they going to do their job with this limp? And these words just keep spinning around in their head while you're talking, and they're kind of ignoring the rest of what you're saying because they're so worried about this thing. So what I would do is head it off at the pass, and I would say, you may have noticed, here's one example that I tell someone to do. You may have noticed that I stutter when I talk. And I just want you to know that I typically stutter more when I'm nervous. And I'm here at an interview, so you're going to hear me stuttering a lot more today than when I get in the actual job. And I want you to know that as an accountant, my stuttering doesn't come into play, and I do really great work as an accountant, regardless of the stuttering. And I'd like to even hand you a couple of recommendations. So here, please call my former boss, and they'll be able to tell you that I was a great accountant despite my stutter. And I've told people to do things like this several times at least, and it works like a charm all the time, because the person on the other end wanted to talk about the stuttering. All they wanted to do was ask about the stuttering, because they heard it, they see it, and they're uncomfortable, and they want to ask about it, they want to understand it. And you explaining it to them, it takes all that pressure away from them, and then they can move on and start evaluating you like a real accountant.
That's wonderful information, Abby. And I just want to very quickly apologize for my little cat. I have a wonderful little cat, but sometimes he's a bit noisy. Pardon me. Abby, two questions here. One is, for older individuals whose resumes might make them appear to be much younger than they actually are, should they reference their older age or no?
Well, okay, so there's a couple of things there, and people ask me this all the time. So it's up to you what number of years to put on your resume. If you want to shorten your resume and make yourself look younger, you can certainly do that. However, the first job on your resume should be a job that isn't something like director or vice president, because we know that's not your first job at a school. So if you're going to shrink your resume, start it off with analyst, coordinator, specialist, something like that, and maybe even manager can pass. But you can certainly shorten your resume to make yourself look younger. There's no reason why you can't do that. It's completely up to you. Now, I've had 26 years of experience since college, and I've chosen to keep all of my experience on my resume because it all builds upon itself. And it would make no sense if I took off 10 years just to make myself look, it just wouldn't make sense for me. So I've chosen to put 26 years on my resume. And I may do that forever. I may keep all of my information there. I don't know if there'll be an age when I want to try to look younger, but at this point, I'm okay.
You know, that sounds wonderful, too, with my own resume. Many of my latest degree was achieved rather late in life, which makes me look much younger. But I think that that point of keeping all the experience sounds very good to me. Abby, also, I was thrilled to hear your reworking of the term overly qualified to absolutely qualified. Could you expand on this concept?
Sure. Well, I teach people in my seminars, live and also recorded, both, that when someone says to you, you're overqualified, you should say, thank you for suggesting that, but actually I'm absolutely qualified, and here's why. And so what you're doing is you're telling them, see, this overqualified is really a stigma, and it's like saying you're so more qualified than I need, and I don't want to hire you. But if you say I'm absolutely qualified, and here's why, and then you explain why. So here's an example. Let's say I'm a nurse, and let's say that I've been a nurse, a director of nursing, right? So I moved up the ranks to director of nursing, and I lose my job, and now what I want to do is I want to go back to being a regular nurse, not a director. So I go in for the interview for the nurse, and they say, you're overqualified. And I say, no, I'm actually not overqualified. I'm absolutely qualified because I've been a nurse manager for about 20 years. And I really miss working at the bedside. I miss working at a hospital, taking care of patients. So I'm not looking for positions that are beyond the nurse level. I don't want to be a manager anymore. I don't want to be a director. I don't want to manage people anymore. I just want to be a nurse. So I'm absolutely qualified to do that. And that's what I teach people to do.
You know, Abby, your websites and your seminars and personal coaching are excellent. I noticed that one of your news clips, Ronelle, you should have seen this. I know you were mentioning that the other media clips you'd viewed with Abby, giving her expertise tips on job searching. Anyway, back to this particular media clip. It was a gentleman, an IT professional from Ohio, and Abby, you'd helped him with his LinkedIn page, and he seemed very impressed. He was an older person like myself. I thought that was a very helpful clip for me.
Yeah, well, I love helping people with their LinkedIn profiles. It's a huge specialty of mine. And I love helping people that are stuck. I love helping people, for example, mothers that are returning to work and they just don't know what to do, or they want to get back into the market doing what they used to do. I love helping people that are trying to change careers. I love helping veterans that are trying to get into the civilian workforce. All these kinds of people I love to help on an individual basis. I meet some of them at the events that I speak at, but I'm always available to meet with you one-on-one as well.
That sounds wonderful. And, you know, we've got in the room both co-hosts of the News on the Flip Side, that's the flagship news program of United Public Radio, both Joe Montaldo, who is doing the recording, and of course the show will be again broadcast tonight at 11 p.m. Eastern, but Stephanie Benetti, she's also the co-host. And, you know, looking at that great website material, I noted that your job conferences and seminars have been around the country. And Abby, we have several listeners from the metropolitan New York area, including the co-host with Joe Montaldo of News on the Flip Side, Stephanie Benetti. Stephanie lives and works in the metropolitan New York area and loves both her job and the New York and New Jersey environment. Abby, your website notes that you have met with over 200 groups of job seekers in the metropolitan New York area. To me, such a huge urban job market would present its own daunting job search challenges. Could you tell us how the job applicant can face an intense job market such as New York City or any of the large cities?
It's the same thing all around the country, and I've been, like you said, to 33 states, and I find that the job market is the same all around the country. It's kind of bizarre. You would think that I find different kinds of people in different states, and all I find is different accents around the country. But the same questions are being asked, the same issues are happening. It's just that certain states, there are different levels of trouble in certain industries. So in the New York, New Jersey market, the people that are suffering most are in the biotech pharmaceutical industry. And in the Texas area, there's a lot of gas and oil people that are out of work. And certain other cities, it's IT. In Florida, it's aerospace. But it's all the same thing. Navigating the job search market is all about networking, meeting people that you know, asking those people to introduce you to the people that you want to know by learning how to use LinkedIn and becoming an expert there, and just building your network and meeting more people and talking to more people and just networking, networking, networking. I can't stress that more. It's really important.
You know, Abby, you take pride in conveying to job applicants job search tips and secrets that other recruiters will not tell the job seekers. Could you share some of that secret information with us?
Sure. Well, there's secrets in so many different places. But let's see. I'll give you a couple of things. Let's talk about the answer to one of those questions that job seekers hate to answer, like, tell me about yourself. So I wrote a second book. It's called Absolutely Abby's Top 12 Interview Questions Exposed. And what I did is I exposed the answers to the top 12 interview questions asked by human resources professionals. And with Tell Me About Yourself, what I did is I went out to all my HR peers and I said, tell me why you asked this question. And I got back a host of information on why people ask Tell Me About Yourself. One of the things that someone said to me is that she asked this question because she wants to stall for time. And she figures if she asks Tell Me About Yourself, the candidate is going to go ramble on so she can spend the time reading the candidate's resume while they're talking. So that's a little secret that most people are not going to tell you. But the thing is, Tell Me About Yourself is one of those questions that people ask for a variety of reasons. Some people ask because they want to see how you organize your thoughts. Other people ask because they want to hear what topic you're going to talk about. Other people ask because they want to know how you communicate. So here's an example of a way to answer this question that I think is going to serve you very well. And what I would say is, here's how I would answer it. My name is Abby Kohut. I've been a recruiter in human resources for approximately 18 years. I've hired 10,000 people across a variety of industries. One of my greatest accomplishments was when I hired 900 teachers for Kaplan, the test prep company. Would you like to hear more about that? And then you stop talking. So tell me about yourself. You answer a little bit about yourself because that way you're actually answering the question. And then you follow it up with an example and ask if they want to hear more about that. If they say no, they'll tell you what they actually want to hear more about, which is great. And if they say yes, then you can elaborate, and now you've got a chance to tell them about one of your greatest accomplishments or strengths. So that's how I would answer that question.
That's very, very helpful. But now, what were you going to say? Pardon me.
Well, tell us more. I'm interested in these secrets.
Well, you know, Abby, your website mentioned some of the, and here quoting, detrimental yet correctable, end quote, mistakes that job seekers make. Can you describe some of these mistakes to us and how the job seeker can correct them?
Sure. Well, let's see. Sometimes during the interview, you make a mistake and you answer a question and you can't think of the right answer, or you make something up. And then after you get out of the interview, you start to think, wow, I really could have done better with that question. So the way you can fix that kind of mistake is in your thank you letter. And by the way, everyone needs to write a thank you letter after the interview. And if you meet 5 or 6 people on one day, you need to write 5 or 6 different thank you letters. It needs to be a personal thank you letter written to the person you met. And if you make a mistake during an interview, you can make that up by correcting it in the thank you letter. You can say, remember there was this question that you asked me, and I answered it this way, but as soon as I left the office, I realized that I should have told you this. And so that's how you can correct that mistake. So that's a good thing.
Now, you know, Abby, if one is attending a conference, whether it's a job conference or a field conference or any type of social group, how can one tactfully suggest that he or she is interested in working for a local firm or in a particular field without causing any inappropriate tension or awkwardness? Is this where you present the business card or...
Yeah, so if you're attending a conference or a meeting, or let's say a holiday party, which is very pertinent right now, you should be talking to people in a more general way as opposed to asking for jobs. You should be asking them about their family, about the movies that they saw, like just regular stuff, about their kids. Have you come to this conference before? What do you do? Like things like that, just very general. And eventually, the other person is going to ask you what you do. And instead of saying, I'm looking for a job, the best way to do it is to say, I am a, let's pick something. I'm a purchasing agent, and what I specialize in is getting the best deals for my company and saving them millions of dollars. I'm an unemployed purchasing agent. It just explains what you are and what your value proposition is. And then they might say, well, where do you work? And that's when you can say, oh, well, at the moment I'm looking for a new opportunity. So it's less pushy. It's making them do all the work. And they will. They will ask more about you if you're asking more about them. So that's how I would handle things like conferences and meetings and places like that.
You know, Abby, too, your webpage references the point, I believe it was an article, excellent articles there, that the unemployed person is not unemployable. Unfortunately, is there now a trend with employers not wanting to look at resumes for people who are not presently employed?
Unfortunately, that is a trend, and I hate that to no end. And I wish that what I could do is I could spend the entire year going out and educating employers on why that's such a bad idea. But I have to pick my battles, and I can only do one thing at a time. So I have to teach job seekers that what you have to do is find something to fill in the gap when you're unemployed. Find a part-time job, find a consulting opportunity, do consulting for a friend of yours that has a business. You don't even have to get paid. It's something to do. Volunteer. Volunteer at a charity, meet more people, take a class, teach a class, do something that fills in that unemployed gap, and it will look more favorable to an employer. Now, this is not a stigma that's happening with every single employer. It's just a bunch of employers. So that's the article that you saw there talks to people about if you see a company that doesn't want to hire unemployed people, you're going to have to realize that their culture may not be the perfect culture for you anyway. So it's really mean when you think about it. It's like saying, well, you're down and out, so therefore I don't want to hire you. Like that's just awful. Really, really awful, and especially because there's so many unemployed veterans out there. It's like, how could you, right? How could you say, I don't want to hire you, unemployed veteran, because you're unemployed? Like that, like boggles my mind. Completely boggles my mind. So, if you find that a company says that, if you hear it through the grapevine, you don't want to work for that company anyway because they're not going to treat you well when you get there. Culture is going to be lousy. I worked for one of those companies for about 6 months, and it was horrendous. The culture was awful. They didn't want to hire anybody that was unemployed, plus a whole lot of other things. And it was just a horrendous culture. So I would just tell you to look out, watch out for those companies.
That's
Abby. I'm sorry, Patrice. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. No, go ahead for now.
Well, Abby, I was just going to ask, over the span of the 26 years you've been, have you seen a really dramatic change in the way interviewers and interviewees are looking at, you know, the work, in other words, the demographics in terms of what is expected from one individual in a position? I mean, I started out as a key punch, and so that takes you all the way back to, I don't want to say, but I'm just wondering, do you have any advice or any thoughts on how things have so dramatically changed?
Well, I think that what's happening is that people are being expected to do more things in less time. There's a lot more technology. People are expected to keep up with technology. And again, they're doing the jobs of three people, usually, and they're expected to stay late. I know that my father, when he was alive and working, he worked for one company for, I don't know, 30 years or something, and he went to work every day at the same time, and he came home at the end of the day, and he was doing the job of one person. He was a manager in a manufacturing plant, and that's what he did. It's very different these days. People are getting let go for budgetary reasons, and so people are expected to fill in, and they're expected to work long hours. They're expected to be on call. They're expected to carry a cell phone and be reading their email all night long. It's very, very different. I would definitely say that. So I meet a lot of people that are kind of sick and tired of the rat race, and they want to start their own business. And again, this is another area I specialize in, so I'm happy to work with people on an individual basis as well.
Interesting.
Wonderful question, Riddell. Of course, Riddell has a wonderful position. She's a very highly intelligent lady, and I consider her a mentor in the legal field. Now, two great comments coming in. One's a comment, one's a question for you, Abby, from our network chat room. First of all, Stephanie Bonetti, co-host of News on the Flip Side, is a technology media specialist. She loves her job. She does live and work in the metropolitan New York, New Jersey area. And she wanted to let you know, Abby, that when she interviewed with her current employer, she told the employer during the interview, forget about this piece of paper. I will tell you who I am. And she has that job, and boy, she's a great credit to the company. She's also a great credit to our network. And now a question coming in from Ashley. Hi, Ashley. Now, this is Ashley's question. How can someone who is almost 30 and never had a job get one? I've been applying in such industries as fast food, retail, entry level, just to be told I am not what they are looking for. We have reviewed your application for this position and will be proceeding with other candidates at this time, or they are not hiring. How can she overcome that, Abby?
Well, it's not an easy question for me to answer without speaking with Ashley directly. The answer is going to depend on what the reason is that they're not interested. And it could be that there's something wrong with her resume. It could be that they're only looking for people with experience. It could be where she lives. It could be maybe they've looked her up on Facebook and maybe they see things that they don't like. It could be a million things, and there's no way to actually answer that unless I meet with her. But that's what I specialize in, is there are people out there that have been unemployed for 6 months to a year, and I meet with them for about an hour, and after I'm done, they have a whole list of ideas of how to find work. And most of them will tell me things like, I wish I had met you 6 months ago. I wouldn't have wasted all this time. So Ashley, definitely reach out to me. You can find my information at absolutelyabby.com. But again, anybody who's having this thing where, you know, you've been trying and trying and trying and it's not working, that's when you need help. And many people, you know, if you have a headache, you call the doctor. Just think of me as your job search doctor.
Sounds very, very worthwhile. I would definitely read your material at your website. To me, that would be just a wonderful step to take. And it's so important. These people have experienced such a rejection factor.
Oh, it's awful out there. The self-confidence that of the people I meet is so low right now, and it's really heart-wrenching, and this is why I continue to do what I do. And Patrice, I know you mentioned at the beginning, I actually don't get paid to drive around the country and speak to groups,
right.
But I do it from my heart. I do it as a mission, and I find ways to earn a living doing this. But it is so hard for me to see people suffering out there unnecessarily, because if I could have met with each one of these people 6 months ago, I don't think they would be in the same position that they're in right now. So it's so important to find somebody to talk to that really can help you find your way.
Well, you know, I have a question. I hope it's not too much on a tangent. Actually, some of my happiest working years were in Boston, Massachusetts, where I grew up. And I still have very fond memories of certain headhunters there, certain recruiters. Should I keep in touch with them, talk with them? I know that you mentioned one question is why you should develop a relationship with a headhunter.
Well, if you already have relationships with headhunters, you have to remember that back in the day, maybe like 10 years ago or 15 years ago when I was looking for jobs for myself, the headhunters were primarily working in the cities that they were living in. So when I was living in the New York City area, I had New York City headhunters working on filling New York City jobs. But these days, most recruiters are working nationally. So even though the recruiters in Boston are in Boston, they can still help you in other cities. So I would recommend that if you are going to be looking for a job ever again, keep in touch with those headhunters and remind them that you're still out there and tell them what you might be looking for at some point and help them fill positions. That's only going to make them want to help you later if you are looking at some point. But, yeah, definitely keep that headhunting network going.
Abby, also there's the concept, and I think it's a wonderful one, but someone really has to be already financially self-sufficient to do this. That concept of students and adults who can afford to taking internship positions. But again, there's that factor of the need to pay bills and financial self-sufficiency.
Yeah, well, okay, for students, taking an internship is exactly what you need to be doing. So if you get out of college and you haven't done an internship, you should get on that right away. Companies do hire interns all the time, and you just have to send them a letter and talk to them about why they should hire you and what you bring to the table. And potentially your college career services can help with that, or I certainly can help you with that. Now, adults trying to get internships, that's a little tricky because companies don't necessarily recognize adult interns. You know, what I mean is like 40 or 50-year-old interns. That's not something they're typically looking for. However, you can certainly write them a compelling letter, see if you can find a marketing person in your life to help you write a really dynamite letter, and maybe they will consider you. There's also a website that I know. It's called internsover40.com. And I don't know, I haven't experienced it. I haven't had to look for a job in at least 2 years, so I really can't speak to whether it's a good site, but it sounds good, Interns Over 40, and I know it's very popular. So you might want to go take a look at that, or just Google adult internships and see what comes up. You might find things like that. But you certainly can find consulting and contracting opportunities out there if you Google contracts, consulting, and if you look on the traditional job search sites like Monster and CareerBuilder, you'll find tons of contracting and consulting opportunities. You can find consulting firms on LinkedIn. Doing things that are temporary and part-time are great while you're looking for your permanent role. And then you might do something like, you may fall in love with being a contractor or a consultant, which I did, and that's why I did it for about 6 years before I left to go on tour.
Boy, that's helpful information. And, you know, Abby, you mentioned the word consultant, and, boy, that was a great reminder for me. Abby, I know of a brilliant lady, a former Department of State employee and Foreign Service officer with a Harvard MBA. Her name is Lynn Hall-Hosa. And actually, a link to her LinkedIn page is up at the Global Newsmaker Focus website. Lynn is a consultant and also a job searcher, and from knowing this lady for several years, she brings so many talents and much passion and devotion to any job assignment. Now, again, links page or her link to her LinkedIn account can be found at the Global Newsmaker account. With someone with that type of experience, she should be networking. Any other ideas?
No, I mean, it's all about, for that kind of person, it's all about networking. But you also have to have the faith that you're going to be taken care of, right? So if you just put it out there and you just say, you know what, I want to find a job and I want to find this kind of job, the universe will start to bring the people to you that need to be in your life in order for you to get that goal. So someone like that that's done some incredible things, that is a consultant or that is a full-time person and they're looking to just do it again, just go out there and network and meet people and thank everybody. Be filled with gratitude. Thank everybody in your midst, and the universe will take care of you and life will be good. That's what I really do believe.
That's superb advice. You'd hardly agree with that for now, wouldn't you? I know you're always telling me to be optimistic.
Very true. I think that's excellent advice, Abby. I find all of the information you're giving us is just really, but I'm still intrigued with those secret questions that interviewers ask. Can you wind back the clock a little bit and maybe give us a couple more examples?
Sure. Well, it's not, we don't have secret interview questions. It's just the answers are more secret. You know what I mean? So, like, the questions, okay. You can find interview questions everywhere. But there's, like, one person told me that they were asked, what kind of tree would you like to be if you had a choice? What tree would you be? Now, that's a weird, bizarre question. And so the reason, right? And so the thing is, you have to be able to have the confidence to deal with questions like that. Sometimes someone's asking you that because they just want to know what you would say. They're not looking for the right answer because there is no right answer to that question. There's just answers.
Right.
So you just have to, you have to get used to answering questions as best as you can. So we can talk about, let's say, the weakness question, because that's one that everybody has trouble with.
Yes.
So I'll tell you what that's all about. When an employer asks that question, they actually want to know what your weakness is. And the reason is they want to know if that weakness is going to interfere with the job they're about to hire you for. So they're asking because they want you to be successful. And nobody wants you to come into a company and get fired. No one's looking for that. So we want to know what your weakness is so we can avoid that at all costs. So if you come up with stuff like, well, I work too hard, I stay too late, or I don't know how to say no, these answers are not going to be acceptable these days. Recruiters are so savvy. They've heard these answers before. They know it's a cop-out. You need to dig deep and find a weakness and tell us what it is. Now, it should not be a weakness that is going to cause you not to get the job. So let's say you're a receptionist and you tell somebody that your weakness is that you come in late to work a few times a week. You're never going to get that job. So you need to choose one of your weaknesses. And by the way, everyone has multiple weaknesses, right? We would all agree? We all have multiple weaknesses?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I want you to pick the one that is least detrimental to the job. That's all. So for the receptionist, don't tell them you come into work late every day. Tell them that maybe you don't know how to use pivot tables in Excel. Okay? Now, the most receptionists don't need to know how to use pivot tables in Excel. Most receptionists don't even need to know how to use Excel. So if you tell them something like that, I know Excel, but I'm kind of rusty on Excel. I'd love some training, or, you know, what I do is I work on Excel during the weekends when I have time just to build my skills. That's the kind of weakness you want to share. Okay? So you want to share a weakness that's not detrimental for you getting the job, but it should be a true weakness so that we can move on to another question.
So saying something like, sometimes I can be a bit too honest.
Yes. Well, so here's how if that's true for you, and I'm assuming it is since you're asking me, so if that's true for you, you can say, one of my strengths is that I'm very honest. But that also happens to be one of my weaknesses. And the reason it's a weakness is dot, dot, dot. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason it's a weakness is because, can you tell me what the reason is that it would be a weakness for you?
Well, it might
help
be
everybody.
The wrong way.
So, in other words, if you're too honest, people might interpret it the wrong way.
Yes.
Now, if you said that to me, I would ask you, can you tell me more? Because I really want to know what you're talking about with that.
Whoa,
so can you give me an example?
Yeah.
I would say, can you give me an example of what you're talking about? Because I'm really trying to get to understand your weakness. I want to know, because if I need you, so like, if you're applying for a job in auditing, right, or accounting, I need you to be honest. If you're applying for a job in HR or in legal or auditing or finance, HR, legal, finance, those areas, compliance, your weakness can't be that you're too honest. It just can't be, because I need everybody in HR, legal, and finance, and compliance to be honest 100% of the time. Does this make sense for now?
Yes.
But yet, you could use that one for, let's say you're a computer programmer. You could say, I'm sometimes a little too honest. But again, because it sounds like a strength, you want to say this is a strength, but it's a weakness when this kind of thing happens. Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
So this is what I'm trying to teach everybody. I wish everybody could go and become a recruiter for just a week of time and learn what recruiters do and just like do the job of a recruiter. You would never have any trouble interviewing again if you could do that.
Wow.
Wendy, this information is so very helpful. Now, you know, Abby, you mentioned as well at your website that many people are dissatisfied with their current jobs. You mentioned one research source is a national executive search firm, FPC, who found that about 79% of their respondents were, quote, planning on looking for a new job once the economy improves, end quote. Abby, with many people dissatisfied, of course, they realize they're fortunate to have a job in this economy. What would you tell them, and also young students who have studied one particular field, but to pay their bills, have a job in another right now?
Yeah, well, this is what I would tell you, is if you have a job and you're unhappy, please do everything you can to keep it, unless the job is making you physically ill. And I have met many people where the job is making them physically ill. They're having palpitations, they're depressed, they can't sleep, they can't eat, they have heartburn. If that's your situation, I'm not talking to you. But for those of you that are in jobs that you don't love but you can tolerate, try to keep those jobs and look for a new job while you're working, because it's a lot easier to find a job when you have a job. That is very much true. You will not suffer the depression. You will not suffer the self-confidence blow, all these other things that your friends that are unemployed are suffering from. Don't go there if you can help it. So keep the job that you have unless it's making you physically ill. And if it's making you physically ill, try to find a way to find something else quickly.
Well, you know, Abby, as well, your career experience, Abby, is so impressive with director, consultant, and senior management positions, finding jobs for thousands of individuals across the country. You now want to find jobs for 1 million people. You've already met with so many job applicants. You must truly be convinced, Abby, that the job seeker can find that job so vital for self-sufficiency in this market.
I 100% believe that every single person out there that is searching can find their dream job. It's just a matter of, first of all, figuring out what that is. And by the way, most people don't know. And most people spend most of their time, most of their life, searching for it. And I want to help people figure that out. Because if you can figure out what you want to do and are specific about it, you will figure out how to get to it. But usually what happens is people are afraid to say what they want. And then they can't move towards it because they haven't said it. And if you can't say it, you can't write it out on paper. You can't create goals around it. You have to say it and get it out there and then move forward. And you take one step at a time, one step every day, maybe one step a week, something like that, just to get closer to your goal. But I do believe that everyone out there can reach their goal.
That's very positive information. And again, the suggestions are exquisite, so very, very pragmatic and helpful. Now, Abby, your websites, I want to note them again. They're so worthwhile. The first is absolutelyabby.com. The second is abbyacrossamerica.com. You have a wonderful Facebook page. Oh, and, you know, before I forget, there's something I'm forgetting here, and I thought it was just another super idea of yours. Yes, you note an outstanding service, and this is the webpage for it, careerwakeupcalls.com, careerwakeupcalls.com. Please tell us about it and how these telephone sessions can be so helpful to the job applicant in both job search strategy and motivation.
Sure. So since 2009 or so, I've held about 75 of these calls. And what I do is I answer questions from job seekers around the country and recently around the globe. And it, the call lasts for about an hour, and you just dial in, and you send in questions, and I answer them. And in order to get access to those calls, you have to get on my mailing list so I can invite you to them. They're not scheduled in advance. We kind of schedule them maybe like a few days before it happened, and then I mail out my entire list to let them know. So the best way to get onto my mailing list is to go to my website, and there's a button that says Join the Career Club, and there's no fee. Just join it. Just click on it and get on my mailing list, and then I will send you information about the career wake-up calls when they happen. They're usually like once a month these days.
What an excellent service. Ashley, and then Vernell, I'd love to have you note your final comments there as well. Abby, I've forgotten to ask a question, and that is, I've noticed now with the internet process, there's often that pre-telephonic interview that comes before the scheduled interview. Any tips for how to do well on a telephone interview prior to the actual in-office interview?
Yes, I have tons. Here you go. Number one is don't do it in a seated position. Walk around your house. It gives you tons of energy. Second is have tons of energy. Smile. And to figure out whether you're smiling, walk by a mirror every couple of minutes just to see. And like, actually, if you smile, it feels ridiculous to be talking and smiling at the same time, but people can hear your smile on the other end. So you want to smile and be energetic and passionate on the phone. And don't be nervous. It's just like a regular live interview. So just be yourself. Do what you normally do for a live interview, and you'll get through it.
Again, excellent information. And again, I would highly advise our listeners to visit Abby's web pages and also her Facebook and LinkedIn pages. Vernell, comments, and then Abby, could you just mention again your final comments? What a wonderful session this has been. Vernell.
Well, I just want to thank Abby again for being our guest. I hope she would consider being a return guest. And
yes.
Maybe do you have any shout-outs out there that you'd like to, mention, or is there anything else you'd like for us to know or share with our radio listeners?
Yes, well, the biggest thing I would like everyone to know is that I'm still driving around the country in an RV all over the U.S., and I would love to come and visit you and your networking group if you have an established networking group, or perhaps you go to church or temple or something like that, you're part of a community of some sort, you can invite me to come speak at that location. I'm happy to drive to your location. I'm also happy to fly to your location depending on the situation. So if you go to school, if you're an alumni from a school, we can do teleseminars, we can do live workshops, there's all kinds of things we can do. But the goal is I want to help 1 million job seekers get back to work. And I'm also available if we have any companies or associations online here listening. I'm also available to speak to companies, associations, and the like. So please get in touch with me at absolutelyabby.com.
Great. Thank you, Abby.
God bless you, Abby, for your very important work and on your own initiative and at your own cost, traveling the nation to find jobs for these millions of Americans. Abby, again, I would like to repeat Vernell's invitation to please speak here again. And also, I want to thank our listeners for joining us. I know they'll find this program tremendously worthwhile. And again, Abby's websites are Absolutely Abby, ABBY, AbsolutelyAbby.com, and AbbyAcrossAmerica.com. Thank you again, Abby. Wishing everyone a great weekend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Abby. And thank you, Vernell.